Well, this is gonna be Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. A lot has happened to the members of Buffalo Gospel over the past 5 years. The alt-country group released their first album, We Can Be Horses, in 2013 to critical acclaim. But lead singer Ryan Nacy explains that losses, both personal and professional, delayed the release of their latest album.
Titled On the First Bell, the album explores some of the many characters from Nacy's hometown, Ixonia, Wisconsin. Nacy and bandmates Kevin Rowe, Nick Lang, and Andrew Koenig joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers for an in-studio performance. And it's a long star. Well, the good ones better, no one's better, no one left it out. And it's a long star. I said the good ones better, no one's better, no one left to call. And you're pouring honey in my ear. Yeah, we bought the barge and wound up here. Well, we went for broke and wound up bust, with a pocket full of hand and dust. And there's a long star. I said a good one's better, no one's better, no one left it out. And there's a long star. When a good one's better, no one's better, no one left to call.
Last I ride, dressed head to toe in this neon light. Well, fairly well, for I am bound for that lone star I seen shining down. And it's a lone star. When the good one's better, no one's better, no one left it out. And it's a lone star. Yes, a good run's better, no run's better, no one left to call. And there's a lone star. Yes, a lone star. There's a lone star.
Lone Star from Buffalo Gospel. Guys, thank you so much for being in the studio today.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
When were you last here?
It was probably 2015. We were here with Trapper to talk about our first record. It's been a long time.
It's been a bit. Yeah, a minute. Well, thank you so much for coming back in.
Yeah, well, we're always happy to come in and talk about ourselves a little bit.
Good. Well, we're happy to have you talk about yourself.
Awesome.
So, speaking of yourselves, you're all from Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we
That's
are.
That's right.
I find it fascinating that, like, a group of guys from Wisconsin somehow found their way to alt country. What was that trip like? Did you grow up country fans?
I did, for sure. That was my dad's record collection, was John Prine and Emmylou Harris and singer-songwriters like that. And he had some Hank Williams. And I didn't even know it, but I was kind of being indoctrinated from a very early age. So when it came time to put something together that I really wanted to play, this is sort of what came out.
What is it about country music, alternative country music, that you think speaks to your experience growing up in a small town in Wisconsin?
Oh, that's a good question. you know, it was, there was a lot of, you know, the blue collar, the stories that singer-songwriters write about, the kind of lonesome feeling, I guess. You know, the town I grew up in, Exonia, was kind of more of a blue collar farm town. And there was definitely, again, like I didn't notice it at the time, but in hindsight, there was a lot of inspiration there, I think. Some of those characters that I saw every day going to school and, you know, friends, parents and things like that. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it connects. I love telling stories, and that's kind of what I'm drawn to as far as music goes. So it just all kind of works out in the end.
What does the alternative country music scene look like in Milwaukee and Wisconsin more generally, but especially Milwaukee? That's where we are right now.
You want to take that one?
You're asking the guy from Madison what it looks like in Milwaukee. So.
Well, Madison too. What does it look like in Wisconsin? Because I don't think of us as being really a country state, but there is a big folk music scene. Is that kind of where it crosses over?
Yeah, it's all tied in. It's all tied in there. I think there's a growing scene too. There's a bunch of bands in Milwaukee right now that are kind of up and coming with the folky, bluegrassy kind of scene, and that ties right into Americana country. Yeah, there's a number of friends that we have, and we've made kind of those connections through the years of people that we like, people that we like playing with, and we kind of just we're filling the niche in the Milwaukee scene that we want to see. We want to hear this kind of music, and we weren't hearing a lot of it, so we got to make it.
Yeah,
right.
So the last album came out about 5 years ago. What was it like 5 years ago versus now?
I actually feel like there were probably more people doing this sort of thing back then. And it seems like it's maybe gone a little more in the rock direction than the country direction, which is fine. It's just more room for us to spread out, I guess. But there's still a handful of people doing it and doing it really well. But yeah, I think there were a lot more people doing the singer-songwriter thing, in my opinion, back then. But there, like I said, there's still some really, really great talent in Milwaukee. It's inspiring when we go to other cities and we realize how deep that pool runs here. You know?
Yeah. All right, well, you have another song for us, 18-Wheeler.
Yeah.
Is there anything we should know?
It's a truck-driving song,
yeah.
Which, you know, a bunch of guys from Wisconsin that have never driven a truck. That's exactly what we should be writing about, right?
All right.
She come a long, long way for a good old boy and letter from the interstate. She said, I love you, little girl, and I want to make you mine, but don't you gonna make me wait. Well, she shouldn't know better when she saw that the letter was written on a motel bell. But by the time he'd arrived, she was blind with the signs of loving in her wedding bells. How do you send love letters to an 18-wheeler? How you fall in love with a driving man? You take a good long look before I up and leave you, and you're sitting here waiting on the wheels again. Well, he woke in the nighttime carrying on, saying, brother, what have you done? You know your boots are burning and a truck is falling. If you hurry, you got time to run. Well, she headed down the road with the letter that he wrote and a smile right across her face. Lord, he never even seen her doing 103 when he passed her going the other way. How do you send love letters to an 18-wheeler? How you fall in love with a driving man? You take a good long look before he up and leaves you, and you're sitting here waiting on the wheels again. Huh? Cigarette smoke, she's waiting in the bed alone. Never mind playing wife, she'd have settled for a call, but she's waiting on the telephone. Well, she got herself a job where she heard he drinks, and she's waiting for a day to come. Oh, daddy rolls into town, and he's settling down in this rambling desert. Now, I
How do you send love letters to an 18-wheeler? How you fall in love with a driving man? You take a good long look before he up and leaves you, and you're sitting here waiting on the wheels again. I said you're sitting here waiting on the wheels, oh, again.
"18-Wheeler" from Buffalo Gospel. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So is that from the new album?
It is from the new album. Yeah, all these ones are from.
Okay, nice.
Yep.
New album, On the First Bell. It's the second album after We Can Be Horses.
Yes.
5 years later, we've talked about how the alt-country scene has changed in Milwaukee, but how have you changed as a group, and how is that reflected in this album?
We have had some personnel switch over. It's been the project really started as an outlet for me to write songs and be in the studio, and I never really anticipated it becoming a sort of a traveling sideshow thing that it has become. But once we started putting things out and people responded to it, it seemed like there was a market for it, and people were interested in seeing us play it. So we had to kind of shift gears and find the folks that it made sense to take out on the road. And the older you get, the harder it is to find people that are willing to do that sort of thing. So it's finding the right combination of personalities, and yeah, I think we're getting there.
And Ryan, I'm putting you on the spot right now, but you've changed a lot over the last 5 years too.
Yeah. Yeah. On a personal level, a lot of things have happened, and that's kind of what delayed the second album. Just sort of life in general. I was in a much darker place 5 years ago, and I'm in a much lighter place now, so I'm having a lot more fun doing this stuff, for sure.
So a more fun album.
There's still a lot of death. And, yeah. There's still a lot of drinking and a lot of death.
Yeah, fun with alt country is just happy songs, but same themes.
Yeah. But maybe a little more hopeful than the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So earlier you talked about the kinds of characters in the town that you grew up in. Who are the characters that we can expect to see in or hear about in these songs? Who are the characters that come out?
Oh, that's a tough one because I usually don't like to give that away.
Okay.
I do, and I'm not trying to be difficult with you, but I do enjoy talking to people and letting them sort of live inside these songs and hopefully leave it abstract enough that they can connect with it. And that's sort of what I love about the genre myself, and I don't really want to steal that fun away from people. I mean, I can say there's a lot of influence. We had a founding member that his name was Josh Tovar, and he was just a wonderful guitar player, and he was kind of the guy that helped me get this band up and running. And he passed away a few years ago, and that was definitely had a – there's a lot of him on this record. You know, there's a lot of that story woven throughout it and me kind of figuring out a way to cope with that because I'd never really lost anybody my age or a close friend. And so, yeah, I can give that away. But I think it's probably pretty obvious to anyone that knows me that that's what a lot of these stories are centered around.
Kind of tribute to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he deserves it. Just a quality guy. So
nice.
Yeah.
So you recorded the album pretty recently over at The Hive just outside of Eau Claire. What was that experience like, recording in that space?
It was, we were away from everything, which was great. It was like very little phone reception. And Brian Joseph, the engineer, was kind enough to put us up at his house while he just stayed down the street. So we just hang out together, live together, eat together, and then we just wake up every day and walk down the hill and just spend all day there. It was really like a nice meditation on this music too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot, just right along the Chippewa River in Eau Claire. And Eau Claire is where Ryan and I met, and that's where we first started playing music together, and kind of meant a lot to go back to Eau Claire and find someone of such international caliber like Brian Joseph. And find the perfect space. You know, just like Nick said, walk down to the studio in the morning, just feel free to take our time and relax as part of the process. And it's such a beautiful spot and a beautiful studio and a great human being in Brian, too.
Yeah, Brian has worked with Bon Iver, Indigo Girls, I wrote down another one, Sufjan Stevens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much does the engineer really impact the sound of an album?
For me, it was Brian's personality. I'm kind of he's obviously incredibly talented. When you look at his resume, it just kind of speaks for itself. And when you listen to the records that he's worked on, they're stunning. But for me, I'm kind of an introverted person. I'm kind of a shy person also. So to have a guy, he's the sweetest guy in the world. And he's just there enough when you need him. You know what I mean? He's not right down your throat all the time. He's got wonderful ideas, but he also understands that making sure the musicians are comfortable both physically and emotionally is like tantamount to getting a good recording, you know? So that was the thing I valued the most was just how good of a person Brian is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a good enough engineer where he can tell you, oh yeah, I think you guys should do another take on that one. Yeah. But also not pushy, like, I think you should do it like this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just the sweetest guy. Yeah. Pleasure to work with.
So you have one more song for us. It's High Time to Hang Fire. Is there anything we should know about it?
It's kind of about, losing somebody close to you and not getting a chance to say goodbye to them, which I think happens a lot. And again, just trying to figure out a way to cope with that and put something out into the air that hopefully they're able to receive, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us here in studio and sharing your music with us.
Thanks for having us. It's an honor. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm fairly certain the red dirt on my window pane.
Buffalo Gospel is a local alt-country band led by Ryan Nacy. Kevin Rowe plays the string bass. Nick Lang is on drums, and Andrew Koenig plays the electric guitar.
Their second album, On the First Bell, is out this week, and they'll be holding an album release show this Saturday at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. They spoke with Joy Powers, and our in-studio session was engineered by Jason Reavy. There is more information at WUWM.com.
You never came back. Oh, it's high time to hang fire. Lord, it's high time to hang fire. A trick of the light on the day you were gone. Oh, it's high time to hang fire. Chase this guilt with regret, hellos with goodbyes, and let them slip over this heart. Oh, and when they run dry, say I curse what I never said. Oh, and I had the chance. Trick off the light on the day you were gone. Oh, it's high time to hang fire.
garbage high. Time to hang fire. Load it tight. A high time, no.